Clockwork Universe by Etch Jetty. Read by San Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. In the history of science, the clockwork universe compares the universe to a mechanical clock. It continues ticking along as a perfect machine, with its gears governed by the laws of physics, making every aspect of the machine predictable. For the second funeral in as many years, Rose thought that things had gone pretty all right. There were similarities she couldn't entirely ignore. Both events heavily featured speeches by people she'd have preferred didn't give one. Both events ended with John and her mother's relationship evolving in some unique, irreversible way. But it was fine, overall. Rose wasn't interested in the mysteries offered by the extra-dimensional visitors crashing into her reality. It didn't suit her to seek those answers. Domesticity had given her the best answer of all. She smiled. Today she was finally alone in the house. Kanaya had taken their newborn daughter Vriska for a naturalistic tour of the grub caverns, something she was convinced was crucial for Vriska's health. Which was fine by Rose. With all these births, deaths, and weddings, she barely had any time to think. Knock, knock, knock.
Come in, I suppose. I wasn't expecting any visitors.
The door creaked open, and it occurred to Rose that perhaps she should have asked who it was doing the knocking in the first place. Her unexpected guest stepped inside the foyer.
Ah. And to what do I owe the pleasure?
Aradia grinned, which should not have surprised Rose.
The pleasure is all mine. Really, I was just curious.
Curious?
Yes. Well, that's something I understand. I would be remiss to reject the opportunity for a knowledge seeker to eat her fill. What exactly are you curious about?
You.
A phantom chill purred down Rose's spine, and she got the sense it was a good idea to close the door behind Aradia and to lower the blinds and seal the room away with a soundproofed magic.
Paranoid, are we? A healthy dose never hurts anyone. Besides, I'm just giving us privacy. It's appreciated.
Her preparations complete, Rose sat on the couch and stared down the goddess of time.
What can I do for you?
Honestly, with what you've done to yourself, not much. A buzzing in Rose's hindbrain.
What I've done to myself?
Aradia nodded.
Can we talk about some convoluted metaphorical horseshit? I wouldn't have expected anything less.
I won't waste your time, then. And no, that wasn't a pun. I'm being very literal here. You're of course aware of the three pillars of canon, right? Nothing about Aradia's expression should have radiated any level of threat, thought Rose. Aradia's question seemed innocent enough, and it's not like Rose hadn't sprung this topic upon the uninitiated before. So why did this feel like a bear trap?
Perhaps you should remind me.
Aradia's smile dimmed almost imperceptibly.
Truth, relevance, and essentiality. Don't pretend you don't know about this, Rose. You're the person who coined these terms.
Rose wished she had brought some tea with her to the couch or something, anything to do with her hands or to give her a chance to collect herself.
I don't recall doing so.
No? You genuinely don't?
Rose racked her brain, casting it backwards in time. There was, of course, the one time with John, but no, that wasn't relevant. Her worries from years ago weren't relevant to her at all. It was unimportant. Still, Aradia wanted a response.
I didn't coin those terms. And even if I did, you didn't hear them from me because we've never spoken on this subject. Is the teen jade filling your head with ideas?
Aradia smiled.
It would be funny to see her and John in a room together, wouldn't it? Of course, she probably wouldn't give John the time of day, what with how non-canon and irrelevant he is, right?
Are you threatening me, Mix Megiddo?
Aradia's grin returned in full force. What would you do if I was? You don't know that I'm threatening you. You don't know much of anything at all. You locked yourself away in the brain of a dumb fucking bimbo so you could be happy. Right. Rose felt around for the edges of her strife deck.
Last chance. Tell me what you're here for, or I'm kicking you out for good.
Aradia laughed. No, you're not. Because this is irrelevant. It's already untrue, we all know that, but none of what happens today matters. It doesn't further the timeline. Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't it? Almost involuntarily, Rose breathed out an answer.
Yes.
Then ask. What did I do to myself?
Nothing at all.
And then Aradia snapped her fingers and...
And
what? What happened next? What the fuck?
No, that's not right.
Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't it? Rose pulled on a metaphysical muscle. Rose pulled on a metaphysical muscle, and the quills of Echidna burst into her fingers, power flowing through her whole body, blasting out and killing Aradia instantly, a just death tolling on a bell. The guilt didn't come immediately, and Rose wondered if there was something wrong with her. She spent years thinking about that day. But she never spoke a word of it to anyone else. It didn't matter at all.
Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't it?
How do I get you to leave? Aradia laughed, and it sounded like tinkling bells. If you have to ask me questions, you're doing it wrong. And she sighed and snapped her fingers.
Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. I order you to leave.
That's very cute, but try again.
How? Snap.
Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't
it? Stop this. Stop it. Fucking stop. Stop doing this to me.
Aradia smiled.
I don't believe in victim blaming, but in this case, you really are doing it to yourself. There's something inside of you you're more afraid of than me. You haven't tried asking yourself any questions since I got here.
I don't have the answers.
Sigh.
Snap.
Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't it?
It does, it does, it does. Why does it burn? Why does it hurt? What are you doing to me?
Aradia, what are you doing to me?
I already said if you're asking me questions, you're doing it wrong.
Snap.
Which leaves me with a burning question. A question, a question. What am I asking?
Who?
Not her. Me? What am I asking? Why did she even bring up Canon? What is she fucking doing? What's her angle? Why isn't she where she's supposed to be?
Burning question.
But it can't be her fault. She's not a villain. It's not her role. She's never been someone for decisive action. She let Jack go.
So who's doing this?
She's the one who did the loop. That's obvious. But why?
Leaves
she
you with
said she was curious about me. That has to be a lie, right? I haven't done anything since that day. I had a baby. We named her Vriska. That's it. There's nothing else that's worth mentioning. Why is she curious about me? Why is she here at all?
Doesn't it hurt? Doesn't it feel wrong? Why did you come to this timeline?
It hurts, it hurts, it hurts to look at John, to know what's happened to him, to lie and 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 lie. But I'm happy. Who the fuck does this bitch think she is, ruining my happiness like this?
Which leaves you with a burning question, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. How does this end?
Why don't you see for yourself? And she places her thumb on her forefinger, and I see her muscles tensing, the impulse traveling down her delicate wrist up to her... No, it didn't happen yet. I just saw it. I saw it.
That's a good start.
And that future fades away, and I'm left with everything else, her fingers open, and between it flows the world. I gasp for air.
You had no right. You had no right. You have no right to do this to me.
Don't I?
My body is mine to violate, Aradia. My mind is mine to destroy. You have no right to fix me.
I didn't do anything to you at all. I laugh in her fucking face.
Pull the other one! Did you arrange Kanaya to be away for the weekend, too?
You did that, I think. I don't really mind Kanaya being here, but it also doesn't matter, and I wouldn't want to see her hurt by learning the truth like this. And what about me, then? Kanaya is my friend, Rose. We go way back. You are someone who I yelled at to stop fucking with things you don't understand back when we were both 6 sweeps old. And you haven't changed a bit, have you? A smile blooms on her face, crueler. Well, I guess the roles are a bit reversed. Back then I was the robot and you were a girl. And it seems like we both viewed those as aspirational. I don't appreciate the implications here. You were the one to call Dirk. My body was failing. Is it failing now? I closed off my mind. That's how I stopped it. So it's between knowledge and your own humanity and happiness. For knowledge, you turned yourself into a sex doll. And for humanity, you turned yourself into a bimbo housewife. Rose, I'm frankly starting to wonder if this whole post-canon thing was just you wanting to get your kinks out into the public. Gods, you need to shut the fuck up. Her grin turns brilliant. Make me. I growl. She makes me fucking growl somehow. Is there any way to make you shut up? Would my magic work on you? I've already taken a direct hand in narration, eliminating the ambiguity, but that isn't stopping you, is it? Arati is silent for no time at all. Try something else. I can't. The block is still there. You didn't put it there, right? You did. Maybe it was a kink thing, maybe it wasn't. I mean, I didn't think you were into breeding before I decided to peek at the future and found out about it. I slap her and cover her mouth with my hand. Her eyes widen in pain and shock. Don't speak her name. Not here. Aradia's big eyes watch me and I stare back. Then she licks my fucking hand like a child and I reel away from her because I'm an idiot. She's grinning again. I agree on leaving the children out of this. Right now, the world is just me and you. I scoff and sigh. I'm amenable to that. Nobody gets hurt? I'm not the bad guy, Rose. And I am? To be blunt, that's what I'm here to find out. I hadn't even noticed, but somehow during all of this, I had gotten close to her, physically close. When I slapped her, my body decided that the best way to approach would be to straddle her on the couch. I had missed this. Was my body acting of its own accord? No, this is something I would do. I wanted to pin her down and hurt her like this, so I did. The id desired it, and I fed it unconsciously, while the ego was having a freak out over canonicity. She got me good, I can admit that. She lets out a little sigh of pleasure as I scoot myself backwards over her torso. Oh my gods, is she enjoying this? Aradia purrs, practically confirming to me what's happening. She's getting off on this. What the fuck is wrong with her? Don't pretend you're not enjoying this. You like being understood. You love the idea that someone would pin you down and ask you questions and fix your mind for you. That someone would understand you. The way you've always wanted to be understood. I moan on the bed as Aradia twists one of my nipples. Fuck. Also, I am pretty good at sex, which I think helps. I pant and squirm as she lowers her lips to suck on my other nipple, her free hand still fondling my breast. My legs are tangled in the sheets. When did we get upstairs? We've always been upstairs. She looks at me, eyes filled with lust laying atop my chest, and just like that, I remember. I was nursing a drink at the bar on 3.72's plinth, and a mysterious rust blood approached me. Rare to see them off-planet, which is why I gave her the time of day. We flirted, she paid for my meal, I sobered up, and we talked, and we hugged, and we both got drunk again. And she's been playing with my tits for the past 20 minutes. And I have never heard of Kanaya Mariam. Aradia bites, and I squeal in pleasure. Fuck. Fuck, Aradia, stop. She does, and looks up at me. Genuine concern in her eyes. We can do this another time. I don't know when that'd be. This planet is too crowded for me to really stay. Please, Aradia. Aradia smiles, and it's like we're back at the bar. My heart melts for her. Could you imagine a universe where we didn't meet for the first time only today? Considering the incredibly bizarre circumstances, I doubt it. You're a troll. I'm a human woman who got into space, and there are a million, million other chance decisions that led us to meet. My date places her head on my chest, using my bruised tits like a pillow. Her horns miraculously stay out of the way. I don't know. I can imagine it pretty well. Want to try with me? I rolled my eyes, but if I wasn't interested in listening to the spooky psychic alien, I wouldn't have invited her back home to fuck. I can try. She giggles. Imagine you're married. You've got a newborn. Your wife is out for the day. My wife? Certain of my sexuality, are you? Okay, fair. Your romantic partner of unspecified gender. And then out of the blue I knock on your door. And then you threatened me and we started kissing. Oh, yes. What the fuck was that? Aradia smiles. She purrs again. We're on the couch. We never left the couch. You're starting to remember. Don't pull some dream bubbles bullshit on me. She giggles and my heartbeat speeds up. I mean, it's definitely comparable to dream bubbles in a lot of ways. Figuring out which version of you you are. I get an easy out because in a lot of ways this version of me is rarer. I don't usually survive to adulthood, so to be me means a lot of prerequisites are met. And me? She kisses me again. You're just the same as I always remember you. I blush. It's stupid of me to have taken her to prom, because here we are, swaying awkwardly on the dance floor, and I've been rendered so speechless I can barely think. God, and what a miracle the cute girl from Alternia High would follow me to Spurb University. Aradia giggles again and presses her head against my neck. I like you, Rose. I blush. God, I must look like a moron. Across the hall, June and Kanaya are chattering, glancing at me and make eye contact. Kanaya gives me a thumbs up and a great big grin, and some part of me loosens up. I like this. I like this a lot. So why? I dig my fingers into her back and she yelps with pain before shutting her mouth. Did you bring me here? I stare at her. She stares back in her pretty little dress. It's blue for some reason. I don't particularly know why I would have expected red, but it still jars me to realize. She doesn't answer after another moment, and I dig my fingers in just a bit deeper. She gasps. Oh, stop. Please, you're hurting me. And I let go. My date stumbles back and crashes into Feferi, who falls down on top of Eridan, doubtlessly ruining the immaculately pressed dresses the pair wore. The Empora heiress stares at me with loathing, and not the fun way. The fuck just happened? What did you do? I almost answer, don't you see, this isn't the real Aradia, but the thought dies in my throat. I'm looking at a girl my age, splayed on the floor, staring at me in horror like I'm a stranger. Oh God, what have I done? Rose. I can't answer, I don't. I turn around and run out of the gymnasium and onto the sidewalk, hoping to never see the face of Aradia Megiddo ever again. Foolish of me, I go to school with her. A hand comes down on my shoulder. Rose. Kanaya doesn't need to say anything for me to understand that this is difficult for her. I am not entirely sure what happened in there. And I think you may owe Aradia an apology, but I, well, considering our shared history, I'd like to think I know you quite well. I scoff. Yet you were the one to dump me. I don't regret that. But when I said I wanted to remain in your life, I meant it. I want to be a confidant, like June is. I still care about you, Rose. Even if it didn't work out dating-wise, I still love you. I buck out a laugh. After what I did in there? Kanaya, I'm an insane person. I took a girl who I liked to prom and hallucinated some insane conspiracy about her. I decided that she had to have it out for me, so I hurt her. Kanaya looks away from my face. Rose, whatever you did, I just... If you're unwell, that's one thing. I just... Not everyone in the world is out to hurt you, Rose. It escapes my lips before I even have the chance to think.
You did?
Because I care about you enough not to trap you in what was rapidly becoming nightmarish for the two of us. I want to heal. I don't think we'll have what we had as teenagers, but I need to tell you that I...
Steps from behind us. A human girl. Human? Why did I make that distinction? In a pretty blue dress and followed Kanaya outside. Her eyes were still red-rimmed and her mascara ran, but she was still as beautiful as she was when she asked me out.
Hi. Can we talk?
Kanaya glances at me and I tell her, this isn't over. Don't worry. And she nods and lets Aradia and I sit down on the curb together. Aradia waits for Kanaya to walk away to say anything. I just stare into her eyes. God, what the fuck was I thinking?
I'm so sorry. I don't have an excuse or an explanation beyond momentary psychosis, of course, but that's not really satisfactory.
I bite my lip and try to break eye contact. I can't. She's so beautiful and I hurt her.
Hey. It's okay, Rose. I promise it's okay.
What? How can you say that? Aradia giggles and I feel my heart tighten. Gods, is she going to forgive me? I don't deserve this.
Well, I can say it because you were right.
My heart skips a beat, blood leaves my face, and I feel my adrenaline spike.
What? I mean...
She blinks, and the whites of her eyes are a sickly yellow, then blinks again, and she's human.
What?
I did bring you here for ulterior motives. I wanted to see how you would feel around her. If you hurting her was inevitable, or if you could be friends. I don't really care about this body, or this scenario all too much. I mean, really, Everton and Feferi staying together is just completely ridiculous, no matter the universe.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
You're not Aradia Megiddo. She stands up from the curb and does a twirl, her blue dress catching the sunset.
Just the opposite. I am Aradia Megiddo. I am every Aradia Megiddo, and you...
I fix both of my hands to the curb and coil my legs. Instead of a verbal answer, I launch myself at her, tackling her with the intent to kill. I target her legs, and she collapses inelegantly to the cave floor. Her horns kick up mud as she lands. I stand back up, surveying her dispassionately. With a pulse of magic, any dirt on me slides right off. Not that it would have stayed on for long anyway. My metal body does not adhere grime to itself. I watch her struggle with deep gasps of air, and I place my boot on her stomach. Her eyes bulge open.
I suppose the answer to your question is, I am your villain. Is that satisfactory?
And the goddess of time, pinned beneath me, looks me up and down. Then she grins and starts cackling. I dig my foot in harder, and she coughs up some rust-red blood.
Well?
Found you.
I'm stabbed in the back by a time clone and my circuits blare in warning. Critical failures stack up before I am able to dismiss them. Aradia's blade exits my shoulder at the exact center of the light symbol. A macabre callback. I shut down my ability to feel pain and elbow the time clone behind me. She grunts and drops her sword. The Aradia underneath me vanishes, not unexpected or unplanned for. Likely that she became the Aradia who attempted to destroy my shoulder. I turn to look at her, and her button nose is bleeding red. Ironic. I don't even think I bleed red anymore. She clumsily straightens up. Strange. For a goddess of time who claims to have been alive for hundreds of years at the minimum, she's sure doing a shit job of fighting.
Again, she laughs. She's bleeding, and it's dripping from her nose down onto her blood-red hoodie. I don't think about Dave when I notice the gear. I don't think about anyone.
So what was the point? Did you just want to duel me? Some pointless show where you utterly fail to dominate me?
Yes. What's so surprising about that? Did you forget you're a goddess? That mortals might desire you, fear you, want you?
I am a stay-at-home mother.
You're a god.
You're a god.
She rises, her eyes filled with open devotion. The ceremonial robes of the Lightseekers fall around her shoulders, her hood revealing her face. And I am so happy to have spent time basking in your warmth. The ritual completes. She lights the candle, placing it on my altar. I kick her again. We're still in the cave.
So it was a goddess worship fantasy?
I mean, that was one of them. Also, that one fucking hurt.
Good.
This time, she rolls away from my boot before it can touch her, and she vanishes in a flash of red, and I suddenly feel her touch on my shoulders again, her fingers trailing down my nude back. I shiver in anticipation. She's straddling me on the bed, and I'm barely buzzed, and it's our fourth date by now. She knows what I want. Her fingers come first, a warm-up, getting me used to foreign objects. I try not to squirm. When her tongue enters me, I try not to buck my hips. Considering Aradia's rimming my asshole, moving would probably result in embarrassment for the lot of us. I kiss her. She stops dancing, the street lamps still glittering off her dress. I moan as her other hand starts to... I kiss her. She stops dancing, the street lamps still glittering off her dress. Behind us, people are trickling out, chattering with their prom dates. Rose, I shut up. She shuts up and I kiss her again, leaning down onto her, dipping her. Water reflects off the asphalt. A camera snaps nearby. If it's anyone but June who took it, they're dead. Okay, it's June.
Should I delete it? You're fine.
And I kiss Aradia again, my saliva covering the tip of her head. Perhaps it's strange of me to have named my dildos, but I feel it adds to my charm. I spread myself with my fingers and bite my lip, lowering Aradia down. If I were a superstitious woman, I'd almost believe that my dildo twitches in anticipation, but the notion of 6 inches of high-quality silicone formed into the shape of a tentacle phallus having a mind of its own is ridiculous. My dildo, Aradia, penetrates me slowly. I mean... every inch of her is mind-blowing. Something about it, something about the control I have over this object, is ludicrously erotic. I am its master. I get to determine how it fucks me, when it fucks me, how I move it, twitch it, press myself against it.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck. Aradia! Is this not good?
No.
Keep going. Her tongue goes deeper. I try not to pull a stupid fucking porn face. I fail to resist the urge. Her fingers grip my ass in satisfaction.
Use me,
if you say so. And suddenly I blink and I hear Jade muttering something and looking at me. You're all good for this, right? I moan in anticipation. I am nude. I am on a bed I don't recognize. Aradia is next to Jade, smiling, always smiling.
Yes.
Well... okay, then. She snaps, and with a flash of green, my right arm disappears. There is nothing but a piece of black fabric where it used to be.
Oh, fuck.
Another snap. My left arm vanishes, all sensation ceasing. My other shoulder is fabric covered, too. Testing the portals. Can you feel anything? Anything that isn't the inherent eroticism of this scenario? Come on, Rose. Aperture Science gave me a special permission for this experiment. Give me good data, or else we might not even let Aradia take you home to fuck you like the toy you're becoming. Oh, that sounds bad. You better cooperate, Rose. I shiver. My nipples stand on end, and there is nothing I can do about it. I don't feel any pain, no, just a cool numbness. Is it too late to make a retrieve arms joke?
Yes.
I am marking down a point for subject was still a snarky little shit. Doctor play.
hot.
Hey, what good are two PhDs for if I can't be sexy with it? She snaps again. Both of my legs vanish in one burst of green fire.
Ha ha ha.
Any changes? Well, I've been reduced to a helpless sex doll. Is that the change in question?
No, you're not quite a sex doll yet.
Oh? She grins and her hand goes out. A red aura glows around it. With a twist of her wrist, time unfreezes for me. I shudder. I shiver. I am fucking coated in nuclear cum. I am drooling it from every hole. Jade is panting and coated in sweat. Her lab coat has been carelessly tossed on the floor. Now you're a sex doll. For the past 3 hours, you existed solely as an object to be fucked. And you were? Repeatedly? Thoroughly? I even froze you when your mouth formed that. Oh, I taste it. It's the best thing I've ever tasted. My tongue feels strange in my mouth. Oh, also, we did some alchemy. We hand-handed you with a real sex doll. You are literally a toy. Fuck holes and handles and all. Holy fucking shit. I can't help but notice that Jade's the only one who came. You didn't use me at all, did you, owner? I meant to say owner. I meant owner? What the hell? Riska helped. I see. So, are you going to actually fuck me now? I really, really need it badly. I need it. Owner needs to fuck her dolly. Jesus Christ, how much did you put in? No bullshit. We only put in the name thing. God damn it, please fuck me. Maybe it's the sex toy you fused me with. I'm feeling such ludicrous urges right now.
You want me to use you so bad?
Yes.
Then make a pretty O face for me.
I comply unthinkingly. Aradia taps me frozen. This time she doesn't suspend my perception. I watch her roughly wake Jade, exchange payment for her toy, purchasing me. I watch Jade get a silly idea and alchemize life-size branded packaging for me. I watch Aradia seal me inside. I watch Jade shrink me to the size of a handheld fuck toy. I watch the girls giggle. And then I feel Aradia toss the box into her backpack. She doesn't even need a backpack. She's a goddess with a Silodex. She did it so I could feel other objects bump into me, into my box. I am an object. I am a product. She walks home, and I am jostled against the plastic walls with every step. She takes the long way around, the bitch. But she gets home eventually. She fiddles with her keys and drops them into her backpack directly on top of me. She lets herself in and shuts the door behind her. I hear footsteps approach her from inside.
Well, relax. I have your birthday present. Oh, fuck yes. Holly didn't break it in too badly, did she?
No, don't worry. But I get first dibs.
Riska likely rolls her eyes. I feel a hand reaching into the backpack. I am pulled out of it, and I realize for the first time just how small I am. Riska flips me over in her hands.
Rose Lalonde fuck toy, huh? I mean, it's accurate.
I have a special gift, too.
Riska puts me down on the coffee table. I'm not sure if she knows I'm a person. I'm not sure if I want her to know.
Portal fabric? Let me guess. Pre-registered?
Some pre-registered, some not. This one is, though.
She activates it somehow, and the scrap of fabric lights up with green fire. My arm, frozen, reaching out, appears on their table. Riska's jaw drops.
No way! How expensive was this, Megiddo?
I'm a time traveler. Money isn't really a worry.
Right. Forgot you were a dirty, cheating, fake gamer. So?
I figured this arm would be able to lend us a hand.
God-awful. I have no idea how I talked myself into being roommates with you.
Riska slices my box open with the tip of her claw. She tears through the plastic entrapping me. She grabs me carelessly. I still feel like I'm soaked in Jade's cum.
So?
I don't have control over my arm. It's frozen in time.
But when Vriska hands me to Aradia, and Aradia delicately poses my wrist and fingers, I feel it. When Aradia places me, my shrunken down fucktoy body, into my own hand, I feel it. If I were capable of animacy, I would be squirming. The fact that I am not makes me wetter.
You're just using the arm like a stand.
Aradia drops her pants, her bulge starts peeking out.
Yep. Well, to each their own. I'll be waiting my turn. Call me whenever.
Aradia stares at me greedily. My own mouth, my wide eyes stare back. She fucks me. She grabs my wrist to stabilize herself, and she thrusts into my being. I'm glad I am made of bullshit inorganic material. She fucks me. I am mounted on her dick. I understand why she needed something to brace herself on. I am being torn in fucking half. She fucks me. She fucks me. Her bulge fills me, comes out the other side, and swells with her growing excitement. She fucks me, and I am her toy. I am her toy. I kiss her again and then add more lube. She's potentially my favorite dildo. I guess turnabout is fair play, after all. And she fucks me, and Vriska is right there, and I kiss her, and June howls approvingly and mutters something about the yearbook club. I stab her in the chest, and she shudders and gasps. I used her fucking sword to do it. My circuits are still blasting warnings about overuse.
This won't be just or heroic, you know that, right?
I know. It's just hot to fucking kill you.
You know what?
That's absolutely... She dies. After a moment, the cave fills with glowing rainbow light. I watch, studying her, as her body knits itself back together. I record everything. I watch as the version of Aradia coded into the fundamental DNA of the universe lends her body as a template, and see life enter my enemy's eyes again. They whip around to me. You won't get a second chance to do that.
I'm aware. I just wanted to see what would happen.
She tackles me, luckily since
I'm made of felt and sprite squared stuff, I just sort of bounce.
Wait a fucking second.
Jaspro sprite squared.
Hey, that's cheating. Get your own ultimate self, Rose.
Dave Pettis sprite squared.
Am I supposed to know what's going on or why Rowdy is here?
Jaspro sprite squared.
Nope. Kicking them both out of this reality.
Dave Pettis sprite squared.
Oh! Yeah, get out of here, stinky losers.
Aradia.
Sorry. We will be on our way.
She kisses me on the cheek. We're on the couch again. A little too far that time. I'm good with anything, but I don't want to ruin other people just having a good time. Consent is very important, Rose. You trapped me in a torture time loop until I went ultimate to stop you. Yeah, but you're the one writing your story. Metaphorically, sure. But I'm beholden to the concept of being in character. I couldn't make you stop because you wouldn't have. And that's because you're a control freak who can't understand the idea that people behave in ways you don't understand. God damn it. Have I mentioned I fucking hate you?
I hate you.
I hate you too. I don't think I've ever understood Black Ron before. This was a nightmare. I want to murder you.
You literally did.
You get what I mean. I want to fucking kill you for this, but I am also going to be brain rotten about the sensations I have experienced today for years on end. Is that Black Rom?
Pretty much, yeah.
If you are encouraged to get a better handle of your ultimate self just so you can hate fuck me better, then that's a win.
How selfless of you.
I mean, I do get good sex out of it. She kisses me on the lips. It feels real. I kiss back. God. How am I going to tell Kanaya?
Tell me what?
Oh, fuck. Kanaya, I can explain. She raises an eyebrow. You were masturbating while I was gone. It was a nightmare. I am speaking hyperbolically, of course. It's fine.
What?
Aradia is gone. I am alone in the house with my wife. Did any of that really happen? I hear a faint giggle in the back of my mind. God damn it. Troll girls are so fucking weird. It's a classic scenario, really, that we've ended up in. On one side, the meat residents. Dave, Kanaya, Karkat, even goddamn Callie. Jade's there too. And they all want to fucking kill me. Fair point. I'd want to kill me too. That was sort of the gambit. On another, the candy crew. I don't appreciate this name for us, Prince of Hearts.
I don't appreciate your stupid fucking face, bitch of bitch.
Anyway, it's the dead cherub. The worse and shittier Robo Stryland. And Aradia goddamn Megiddo. At my sides are Terezi and Rosebot.
Something's off.
No shit, something's off. This isn't supposed to happen like this. We were meant to have more time.
Not just that. Rose is hiding something.
Is she now? She recoils at the accusation, which is honestly kind of surprising. I haven't seen Rosebot display that much blatant emotion since I built her.
I am not the one here keeping secrets, miss. I'll keep the card around for a special occasion.
You knew about it?
What do you take me for, an idiot? Don't answer that.
Who fucking cares about any of this? What are you hiding, Rose? Rose answers my question, whether she wants to or not.
I am hiding the level of absolute hatred I have towards somebody here.
Oh. Boring answer. Everyone hates me.
It's not you she hates.
She sniffs the air. Why? What biological aid to her investigation could that possibly provide?
It's someone from the Dave Robots group, and it's not the Dave Robot.
Do we tell them we can hear them?
No.
Also, it's Dave Bot, not Dave Robot.
Who cares? Lalonde, explain to me why you're drooling pitch while looking at—
Rosebot launches herself off the ground and punches Aradia in the face. Both girls fall over in a pile. Then they start making out. Jesus Christ, really? I can't believe I had to narrate that.
Should we be here for this?
What the fuck is going on with the other two groups? Are they paling in public right when we were about to duel to the death?
Dude, I don't know.
Hey, you guys seem chill. Were Roddy and Rose a thing in your timeline?
They were not.
Weird.
I'm going back inside the ship to get dinner.
Can I come with?
No. Fine. Don't be a nuisance. This is fucking ridiculous. I'm inclined to also get dinner. What? Come the fuck on. Narrator solidarity. I have the munchies. God damn it. Everyone here sucks. That's what I told Rose the last time she— I hate you. I hate you. I hate you too. Yeah, screw it. I'm going back inside for snacks too.
Dude, do you guys have new munchies? All we had on the ship were like fruits, beer, and coffee, and it was a goddamn travesty.
Just come inside, this is all so dumb. Fucking hell. I purposefully cut off the narrative after this paragraph. This is incredibly fucking stupid. This project ended up being one of my favorite things that I've ever recorded. I'm extremely grateful to Flair for taking the risk and making this possible in the first place. And to the author, both for reaching out to me about this and for their assistance and flexibility in adapting this text for audio. For the full text of this and other works by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Etch Jetty. Theme music is Refractory, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Other music is Lady Bad Luck by ROCCOWS Chiptunes on YouTube. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can learn about other stories that I've read, my Discord page, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.